Yeah, we do ask for your prayer this evening. Thankful for the humble prayer that's been offered and the song service that went before. We do ask an interest in your prayer this evening, the time that we stand before you. Sometimes we mention these 30-minute sermons are a little unique. I thought about it. You've heard me say this before. When I felt like I was being called into the ministry, I said, well, the kids are going to love me. He said, about 20 minutes is about all I'll need, and church will be over and we'll be out in the lunchroom. I'll be the favorite preacher around. And sometimes it seems like an hour can pass by so fast, at least for me. And in 30 minutes, of course, really goes by fast. And sometimes I hear Brother James kindly preach, and his preaching stirs me up to go home and study more about the subject matter that he brought before the congregation. And there's been times that you've seen where I come back and I will try to maybe pick up where you left off, perhaps, because it's hard to exhaust any subject in 30 minutes or an hour, for that matter, or perhaps a lifetime with some subjects. But sometimes I try to preach a sequel to my own sermon. So perhaps we'll do that tonight if the Lord will bless for a little while. The last time I preached here on Wednesday night, 2 weeks ago, I spoke on zeal. And what a great characteristic it is. And I know with me personally, I pray for greater zeal. We didn't sing it tonight, but I like that song in this book, 213, "Oh, for a breeze of heavenly love." And one line in that song says, "Would thou not grant me warmer zeal to run the heavenly road? Eternal Spirit deign to be my pilot here below, to steer through life's tempestuous sea where stormy winds do blow." I love that song, and I had to look up the word deign. I've been singing it for all these years. Deign means to condescend. Eternal Spirit, condescend. Come to where we are. And when the Spirit comes to where we are, we become more zealous. I mentioned in Scripture a few verses that we maybe mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago. Galatians chapter 4, verse 10 says that we should be zealously affected always in a good thing. How do we know if it's a good thing or not? If it gives glory and honor to God, it's a good thing. To be zealously affected always in a good thing. I mentioned Romans chapter 10, verse 1 through 2 or 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of the righteousness of God, having and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Also in another verse in Scripture, I think it's in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, it refers to a people purified. Let's see, what does that say there? Purified, I apologize. Let me turn and get that, if you'll bear with me just a minute. It frustrates me when I should be able to quote something and it just doesn't come to me. If I can turn to Titus real quickly. In verse 14 it does say, "And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." To purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Sometimes we remember certain sermons that were preached, and who preached them, and who preached them doesn't really matter, Brother James. We know if it's sound preaching, it came from the Lord, and we should give him the praise, honor, and glory for that. Also, there's times in my life when I've heard a song and I remember it very vividly, where it was. And we had a meeting several years ago when the East and West Amen Association came together, one of the best meetings we ever had, out of Southwest Community College. And Brother James Fields, I don't remember if he's living in Thibodaux, Louisiana then, or in Murray, moved to Arkansas, but he led a song. It's 414 in this book, which says, "He formed a people for his praise, and I don't care to stay here long." That's that purified, peculiar people that are zealous of good works. So we should be zealous for the things of God. I want to spend just a few minutes looking back at Isaiah chapter 6 for a moment and some things I didn't mention last week as we kind of maybe hurried through that a little bit. But Isaiah chapter 6 begins like this. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Also, he saw some. This is the part I didn't mention last time. Is Also there above the throne, he saw the seraphims. They had six wings. I don't know. I you do the same thing, I'm sure. Sometimes I think about, Lord, give me understanding of why six wings. What is the significance of that? But it did tell us with those wings with two of the wings, they covered their face. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they flew. The seraphims, six wings. And I told you a moment ago that Isaiah said he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And that perplexed him. Because he had seen the Lord, he said, because of this, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And again, this is part of the account in Scripture I don't fully understand, but the Bible says that one of the seraphims reached into the fire on the altar with tongues and picked up a live coal and brought it and put it upon the mouth of Isaiah and told him put it upon his mouth and said, Thine iniquity is forgiven and thy sin is purged. And then he heard the voice that I mentioned last time. He heard a voice from heaven that says, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah responded, Here am I, send me. He had been purified by the fire. I don't understand exactly, but that's something we can study on the next week and pray the Lord would give us a greater understanding of the things He has in particular in this passage of Scripture. But we know we're purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. But He was made clean, if you will, and developed a different attitude about things. He said, Lord, here am I, send me. But he also asked a question there, if you remember. He said, Lord, for how long? For how long? The Lord had sent him to tell people. He said, go tell these people. He said, Lord, for how long? And the answer that Isaiah got would probably be a source of discouragement for us. And I know sometimes in life we get messages of great discouragement. I can remember some phone calls I've received or some messages I've received from people I love that just knocked the wind out of my sails. I don't know if I know the family Brother John's talking about, but I think I wish he would tell me after the service. I don't understand those things, why they happen, but I understand this and I know this. God's too wise to make a mistake. And His grace is sufficient. And He will never leave us nor forsake us. Friends, we've had, the Bible said that seraphim had the coal in his hand, a live coal in his hand. So I assume that seraphim had two hands and six wings. I know he had six wings. I know he at least had one hand. He brought that coal and the iniquity was forgiven and the sin was purged from Isaiah. And he developed a different attitude about, Lord, here am I, send me. And he said, how long? Because he knew he was going to a desolate place. As a matter of fact, he told him, he said, until the cities become desolate and there is a great forsaking in the midst of the land. There's a great forsaking in the midst of the land. That sound familiar to you today? What's going on with that mic? But we'll see. said until the city is desolate, and there's a great forsaking in the midst of the land. How devastating it must have been to Isaiah. I don't know that I've ever been sent to preach. I've been to preach in some places where the church was in discord, Brother James, and it's not a pleasant experience. But I'll tell you what I've done in those situations at times. I've experienced great blessings from the throne of God. I tell you, one time I went to a church and we were having great controversy and turmoil in the church. And I tell you, friends, I don't like controversy anywhere. But particularly in the household of faith. And it comes in sometimes because we bring our personal things with us and we fail to acknowledge We ignorant of the knowledge of the righteousness of God. And sometimes we go about trying to establish our own righteousness. It doesn't work out. It doesn't work out very good. But on this particular day, I went there, and the attendance had really fallen off. And I went, and boy, I tell you what, I had a pity party on the way to church. I heard somebody say one time that pity parties are generally poorly attended. Think about that for a minute. I had a pity party on the way to church. Brother James, I said, you know what? I'm gonna have to lead the singing. I'm gonna have to do the praying. I'll have to try to do the preaching. Oh, woe is me. And I got there. I was the second car there, and there was a car already there when I got there. It was old brother R.J. Wade had driven from Baton Rouge to this church, and his precious companion. And I've often wondered in my life which one's the worst to lose, your mental health or your physical health. I realized that day it's probably mental health is the worst to lose. We want them both. I mean, it's a priceless gift. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father above, and health is a priceless commodity. But that particular day, brother, we had folks showed up that hadn't been there in a while, and we had visitation from our sister churches, and Brother Edward Rushing, Brother James Rushing, and I helped Brother R.J. into the stand. And him being in his early 90s for about 30 minutes, he white-knuckled that book board, and heaven came down. And on the way home, I felt so bad about myself. I said, Lord, why do I doubt you? Why do I doubt you? Even though we may have to go into a desolate place, will there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land? Despite all that, the Lord gave him a glimmer of hope. He said, because you continue to speak in my name, and there will be a tenth that shall return, and they'll be like the till tree. They'll shake their leaves. They'll shed their leaves, and what will be exposed is the holy seed is the substance thereof. But now I want to talk to you the rest of our time this evening about another character in Scripture. Sometimes I find myself, and you probably do too, I think about if I could talk to anyone in Scripture, who would it be? Now, Jesus Christ would be at the top of the list. That goes without saying. But what about you? Who would you like to talk with? I'm going to talk to you tonight about a character by the name of Caleb. And what Caleb did. I'm going to try to switch these other mics or not.
We find in Numbers chapter 13 that Moses had sent 12 spies, a spy from a man from every one of the 12 tribes of Israel, from Kadesh Barnea into Canaan's land, to spy out the land. And he gave them specific instructions as they went. And thankfully, he sent O'Shea, which he changed the name to Joshua, from the tribe of Ephraim. And he sent a man by the name of Caleb from the tribe of Judah. Sent 10 more spies with them. And he gave them specific instructions. Said, you go there and you search out the land very thoroughly. And you find out if they're strong or weak, if they're few or many, if they live in tents or if they live in strongholds. I forget other things that are right there, but it's in Numbers chapter 13. You can go ahead and read it. And they went, and they said they stayed there for 40 days. And the Bible also said, I mentioned a few moments ago about specific songs that we've heard at different times, and we can do the same thing with sermons. When they went, it was the time of the first ripe grapes. I think he even told them to bring back some of the fruit of the land. Also, he told them to see if the land is fat or lean. See if when we go there, if we go there in combat, if we're going to have sustenance, if we're going to have food to nourish our troops when we go. But bring back some of the fruit of the land with you. And it was the time of the first ripe grapes. And I remember Brother Burl Phillips, where I'm standing right now, preaching on that many, many years ago. The time of the first ripe grapes. Some of you that have been in Union a long time probably remember that. Well, they brought back a grapes that it was carried on a staff. There were two people who had to carry those, and they brought back some figs and pomegranates. And Caleb, they all saw the same things. What changes our perspective on how we see things? You know, the time in Scripture where I believe there's been two people who walked on water in the history of the world. One was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who walked a long way on the water, and one, Peter. You know, when Peter had his eyes on Jesus, he walked to meet the Savior. But the Bible says when he saw the winds boisterous, he began thinking about the circumstances that surrounded him, that he was caught up in. But they saw these, and you know, they came back with a report about the land that said, surely it does flow with milk and honey. It's a good land. But oh, there's some giants in that land of Anak that we're grasshoppers in their sight. Sometimes the problems that we face seem insurmountable, don't they? They seem like, Lord, how am I going to get through this? If you hadn't experienced that type of problem yet, get ready, it's coming. At some point in your life, you'll experience something that you feel like, Lord, how am I going to get through this? This is almost unbearable. Now, I've been down some difficult roads, I can promise you, friends. But recently, Brother John, in some of those school things we have to deal with, I feel something changing inside of me. That the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 3, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. What did Caleb see? He saw... As I mentioned before, I love that verse in Romans chapter 8, where it talks about whom the Lord foreknew. Whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate. Who he predestinated, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. They ask him in that 31st verse of Romans chapter 8, what shall we say then? If God be for us, who then can be against us? If God be for us, who then can be against us? You know, and as they came back, and those ten spies, Joshua didn't speak up at this particular moment, but the ten spies said, there's giants in that land. We're grasshoppers in their sight. But Caleb had a different outlook on the thing. He said, the Bible says he stilled the congregation. He stilled the people. And so that let us go up at once and possess the land, for we're able to overcome it. They doubted, for certain they doubted, and they began to want to stone Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb. The Bible says that Moses and Aaron bowed their faces to the earth in the presence of the congregation. They wanted to get them another captain to go back to Egypt, what they wanted to do. But Caleb says there in, let me turn over real quickly to Numbers chapter... Chapter 14, verse 8 says, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. In verse 24 of that same Numbers 14, it says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. My servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. You know, Caleb, if you look up what his name means, it seems like there should be more Calebs. I don't know what about four or five Calebs, I don't think. There'd be more of them. Caleb means, it comes from two Hebrew words that are combined, and that means whole heart. Whole heart. With zeal. With great understanding that if God be for us, who then can be against us? We roll forward to Joshua chapter 14, and we see something in Scripture here beginning in verse 6. We want to close with this evening. Joshua 14:6. We fast forwarded several years from where we were in Numbers chapter 13. It says, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. It's going back to Numbers 13, the report he gave, totally different from the other ten spies that said that saw the giants in that land, and they saw the great obstacles and barriers that were going to be there. But Caleb understood. The Bible says he was my servant Caleb. I like that term. That my servant Caleb had a different spirit in him. And he realized, again, if God be for us, who then can be against us? He understood that this land had been promised to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He understood that God's promises through Jesus Christ are yea and amen. If God promised it, dear friends, it will come to pass. He says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly follow the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He was 40 when he sent out from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And now he's 85. The Bible says that he's as strong this day as he was that day. The Lord had given him strength. What a blessing that is to be in that condition. Why did the Lord bless him? Because he had a different spirit. This my servant Caleb has a different spirit about him. He said, I wholly follow. W-H-O-L-L-Y means completely, with all your heart. It was a time years ago when I was involved with Special Olympics. What a blessing it was to go there and see those special needs children compete in athletic competition. They did it with all their heart, Brother Joe. They didn't have physical gifts. They didn't have mental gifts. But they had a heart to give it what they had, what the Lord had blessed them with. It was a blessing to me to watch these young people. And some of them were actually older than me at that time, but at least chronologically. But it says, now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the end of verse 15 says, and the land had rest from war. Friends, there is a great benefit to serving the Lord wholly, to serving him with all your heart. You know, there was a person asked one time, said, what shall I do? I think that a lawyer, he said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He says, what does the word say? What does the scripture say? He said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy strength, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor thyself. May the Lord bless us to have a servant's heart like Caleb had, that we will serve the Lord and follow him wholly, that we'll be sold out to the Lord and we'll commit our ways unto him. The Bible says the Lord, his eyes range to and fro throughout the earth to see those whose heart is fully committed unto him. May when he look at us, may he see those that are wholly devoted to serve him and to honor him. Just like Caleb said, I was 40 when I went to spy out the land of Canaan. I'm 85 now. I'm just as strong then as I was now as I was then. Right. And he inherited Mount Hebron because of his faithfulness. I want to inherit the mount where the Lord is, friends. Because this is a blessed place that we're on. This is holy ground that we're on this evening. This has been a best place, a blessed place all the days of my life, and I pray it will continue to be that. But you know what it's going to take? It's going to take some with the spirit of Caleb who are wholly committed to following the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole heart, sold and bought into it. I trust the Lord will bless us in that endeavor as we sojourn in this life. May the Lord bless you is our prayer this evening.